assume that, well, I live sort of partway between Brock Bend and Herdville, and, you know, what should I call myself? Well, I said, well, I think you're in McKellar Township, so I said, you make the decision. Either that, if you want to be part of Herdville, maybe you can move inside the boundary, because she was concerned of where that sign went up. And I'll put it back to Councillor Haskin. Were those signs based on any particular historical distances, or did you just say, well, this is Herdville, and this is, this is where it starts?
Wherever we could get a hold of.
I'm curious how they, I mean, I have no trouble supporting this. I'm having been there, I mean, the part that they're talking about smoothing and leveling, to the best of my knowledge, which is in the foreground here, is actually rock, bedrock. Yeah. That's pretty hard to smooth or level. Short of dynamiting, anyhow, I don't think it's material to us, but I mean, I don't understand how they will do it, frankly. So maybe pour concrete over top of it, but I'm not sure that doesn't make it worse. So
I would almost lean toward thinking that they will level the rest of the parking area and try to bring it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's more level onto the front porch. It's kind of how I would visualize it.
In which case, $3,000 wouldn't go very far. But
no, they'll probably get a super deal also on the park, because probably more like $10,000, I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know if they put how much it would be, but...
Yeah, I don't have a problem with supporting it anyway. I think it's a good thing to do. I think the community gets good use out of it. And Lord knows they had a campaign event there too, which I think all of us were at anyhow. So
I guess with this, is the best way to approach it that we save it for a resolution of council at some point at a regular meeting, and we just continue on with the budget right now with these figures?
Okay.
Because I really don't think we have resolutions arising out of this meeting.
So we just leave that figure in there,
right,
and then we deal with it at our council meeting.
Yeah, and they'll want answers, I'm sure, because time marches on. But
well, do we want to change the budget to 5,400 then, which is the amount, and then reduce the other one by the 400, or leave it and just have a variance of $400, which I don't think anybody here is going to care about.
Well, Councillor Keckney had another plan, so I guess we've got two plans here.
Okay.
I think just keeping it at the 5,000, and they've requested 3,000. We donate the 2,600. And since we've had this discussion, basically when we pass the budget, then what we've discussed is approved.
Right.
And if we want to pass a resolution, well, that's on top of that. This has already been approved, just so that it appears in the public record that those donations were one output from an administrative point of view. We don't need to do that.
No, but as you say, it's good to go public with it, I think, where the money is being spent. And these things are, it's all open session, certainly, so all of this is open to the public. Who applied, what did they look for, and what did they receive? I think that's public information. So, as you say, we'll get lost if you just approve the budget. And that's what's confusing to the layperson out there, too. What's in those grants? I mean, who applied for a grant? How much? They don't know any of that. The budget's just been approved. So I think if it's broken into different layers, more detail, I think that's good for them. It might save future questions.
Yeah, I agree. And this is why it's important to go line by line through the budget. Because,
which we're doing?
Yeah, is because when there's an amount here, when we discuss particularly what it's meant to be dedicated to, then there's an expectation that that's what council approved that money to be spent on.
That's interesting, because I know that I've heard that in the past. Maybe your Oshana can correct me on this, but I've just heard that it's in the budget, so it's all approved if it's in the total. Not necessarily allocated for a certain thing, it's just in there. So they can move those figures around. What is the past procedure being? If it's allocated to a certain project or a certain purchase, it can't be moved to something else? Within different departments and with...
Within the department, depends on the head of department's approval, we can relocate, but then as long as it's in the budget, so it means it's all approved. It's on the discretion of the department head. Where would you like to use it from?
Okay. I guess the question arises then, why have the itemized categories if suddenly they decide to wipe out 50% of those and to do something else with the money? It's still been approved, it's in the budget, but it doesn't specify that that's what it's being used for.
And it, last 2 years it never happened that, you know, we end up using a category which, you know, where the money is allocated, but they end up using somewhere else. We haven't used that
right
way. But then sometimes it's normally the concept is that, yeah, as long as the budget is approved, it means money is there. It's only how I use it. That's how the question is up to the department head, because department head pretty much the one who gave us the budget. And you know, at the end, if he or she sees that there's a surplus, you know, maybe I can use that amount for the other items too.
So I think even though it's in the budget, I think it's still better that if the council has a motion and a resolution so that we have a trail. Okay, so we gave so much to this group, so much to this group. We can always refer back to the motion that this is where it went. Okay, it was in the budget, but we don't know who it was for, right? So then you have there, well, this went to Dunamic, this went to Herdville. So we can always look back and say, that's how much it all, you know,
definitely,
we've spent so far.
Yeah, I know things can change over the course of a year. I mean, you put up, you purchase something and it's not available, for instance, and yet you don't want to necessarily let that lose that money. And that's why we've set up at the end of the year, I think, that it goes into the next year's budget as a reserve sort of thing for most of the committees. And but things can change over the year, I realize that. And I don't know how, you know, restrictive we should be, stringent in saying that you have to purchase, you know, spend it on that actual object, what it says in the line item budget. So I think that's what we have to decide. Yeah.
If expenditures are being done responsibly and with anything, there's never an issue. But as soon as new purchases take place, which are questionable, then that's when, you know, any corporation would have to ensure that their policies and procedures and in controllership policies clamp down on that. But if, you know, if things are being done responsibly and in good faith, well, then you know that, you know, then you have a trust that things are being done according to, you know, what your expectations would be for that money to be spent responsibly. So, you know, there can be, if there's issues, then that's something that would have to be addressed at that time. It's nice to have things in place before there's issues, but yeah, it's a challenging situation.
Yeah, I would just add to that, let's say with recreation, for example, if an expenditure comes up or something new comes up, say like we didn't capture, like we have to do more pickleball courts out there, well then we would pass a motion if it's beyond our normal expenditure, and it would go to council and be approved through Roseanne kind of thing. But you kind of got volunteers trying to anticipate a whole year's of recreational programs. And yeah, there's probably going to be a little bit of shuffling around, but I would speak for this recreation community. They do darn well sticking to the budget, but if they know they're traveling off of it, they take measures to make sure that it's covered. And of course, it's definitely got to be sort of something recreational in the township. We can't stray too far off, like Mike was kind of touching on a little bit. You know, yeah, make sure it's for, you know, whatever it's designated somewhat. So as far as being really particular, I'm making them follow right every little category right down to the dollar. I guess I'm kind of saying no, I don't think we should bring something, put something in place to make it that crucial. We're going to start punishing volunteers because they didn't do something quite right.
I'm thinking of a situation, maybe you've set up a certain program or sport and nobody's showing up to it. So you decided to divert the money then over to another sport where people are coming up, like
mm-hmm.
you mentioned pickleball. A few years back, you wouldn't have heard of that. So you do it into badminton or different things, but if nobody's showing up to certain events, then, and yet it shows in your line item that's what it's for, then
mm-hmm.
you'd have to switch around. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so flexibility is good, I think. But
for probably any major changes, then then there would be a budget bylaw amendment, just so that that's captured, that there has been a significant change in the budget or the allocation of where that money is going to be directed. And I think that's fair. Then everyone is on the same page and knows what's going on in any major situations.
That's more notifying council and
what
staff.
What would you consider to be major? I mean, it's not a facetious question. I mean, I don't know the answer myself, but I mean, a certain percentage or a certain dollar value or maybe both?
Well, I guess you'd refer to the procurement bylaw and to see what now falls within the guidelines and,
okay.
and the structure of the procurement bylaw, and that would be a starting point.
Does it have those numbers in there? Like, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Okay, just one. Bottom page 5. Under emergency planning, and I know our fire chief was here talking about that too. I see you've moved the radio tower maintenance down below.
Yeah.
With emergency management. That's good. I'm just wondering about the actual figure. Now, maybe I didn't follow. It looks like it's been increased. Was that...
No, it's the same amount.
But I think it was 5,000 before. Now it looks like it's 5,500. I looked at the previous budget, and it looks like the one has increased a bit. Maybe misreading it, but and I just wasn't sure whether that was discussed at last meeting or what happened.
I just moved the line from the
right, $1,000.
Yeah, $1,000. That's what I did.
Yeah, but I'm like,
overall, there shouldn't be any.
No, the emergency
change.
Management, do you remember what that was last?
Last was 4,500.
It was still 4,500.
4,500, and then I moved $1,000 from
right.
Second.
Okay, as long as those figures are the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I have another one on, this is on 18. Just fortuitous, I think, that we have somebody here maybe can answer this in the public, that as we look at environmental protection and preservation, we didn't really touch on this before. I know we touched on the different committees, and this particular one, I know they've submitted a budget, and I know we've talked as well about separating, as it used to be in the past, the environmental committee from Manitowoc Lake Community Association. And we have somebody here, I guess maybe whether Tony Best wants to speak to it or not, since you're on both, I think.
Yes.
And I think it would be useful for us, because it used to be in the past, I know for the Manitowoc Lake, they would have a separate request for equipment they'd use for water testing. And I guess the question now is, it seems to be all lumped in together. Is that a good thing, or should it be separate?
I can walk you through this.
Sure.
The water testing equipment will be paid for and expensed by the Manitowoc Lake Community Association. So there will be no cost to the township for the incremental equipment. And we will be writing you and explaining the details of that. But the number is basically a little north of $7,000 that we have just bought new equipment and for the purpose of the benefit of the township. So that's one. What happens during the year, the past agreement has generally been that the MLCA would provide the labor and do all the testing and get the water, get it down to the lab and manage all of that kind of stuff. And then for ease, the MLCA paid the bills during the year. And at the end of the year, I write a letter to Roshan saying, here are the invoices. Here's what we all paid.
Yeah.
And what happens, the benefit of that is somebody with detailed knowledge knows whether that was the amount that should have been paid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if an invoice comes to Roshan from the testing agency, he doesn't really know whether that's right or not. So the NLCA used its own, you know, monies to pay during the year for reimbursement at the year end. So the monies that are in here that you have, this is a typo, you have an Manitowoc Lake Conservancy, Lake Community So that line for $8,000, which is an increase because in the past we have basically only done E. coli testing. Mm-hmm. And now science has gotten to the point where E. coli testing is not really enough to continually monitor whether the health of the lake is deteriorating. So the other measures that are now important are phosphorus, oxygen, and temperature. So the equipment that we have, the MLCA has purchased, are for the purpose of doing this new kind of testing. And I would add, you know, the only way this testing works is you continue doing it every year for 10 years, because the static number is not as important as the trend line, because you could have a year where there was an aberration, or you could have a year where it didn't happen. So the trend line is important. So when you start testing, I would like the council to think, really, this is important, and it's something we need to follow through on, because really the health of the lake is really central to the health of the economy. I mean, the economy of McKellar is driven by the quality of the water of the lake. And so we included, that's why there is an increase from the 4,000 and you changed to 8,000 because of the additional monies for the phosphorus, oxygen, and temperature. And, you know, this equipment, we need it to go down deep enough on the water. You know, we had borrowed some to practice with it last year, and we decided that the Lake Association decided that it was part of our way of participating in the community.
So what I'm hearing, and it sounds like we were just talking earlier about the budget over maybe a 10-year period, you'd like to see this maybe as a line item and not have to come back each year and...
I think we want to have some flexibility, and I think that when you start something new, you want to do it for a couple of years and find out, you know, is that really as much, or do we do more or less testing?
Yeah.
I think at the beginning we probably wouldn't want to codify it, but I guess conceptually for the council is if we're going to take steps to measure the quality of the lake water, it is a long-term process. It's not something we do and just test it one time and say we're fine, we'll go back 5 years later and do it.
Yeah.
And that analysis also applies to the line item in that you have for the Georgia Bay Biosphere, which is the Bentinck study, which I'm assuming you know what the Bentinck study. Basically, it is the animal life in the littoral area, you know, the area immediately on the shoreline. And that is the, like, the canary in the coal mine. So that, again, is a study that has longitudinal benefits for doing it. So that is an area where two-thirds of the cost is paid for by the township, and the Lake Association also pays for a couple of the tests. So the total monies that, you know, you have $5,200 there, but there's probably another $1,000 that the Lake Association pays, you know, because we wanted to participate in it. And then going up to the top line is the Lake Stewardship Committee, is the committee itself. So that's what, you know, gets the signs up for invasive species and Lake Shore Protection Handbook and all of those things that are done, all of the activities of the committee. Is that a...
No, that's good. And I'm just wondering, as I listened in the past, I saw it more and more morphing together, the two of them, Lake Stewardship and Manitobing Lake Association. And I just wanted to make sure that even though you're doing similar things and you have similar people, you know, people on different groups, should we still be looking at a separate budget line? It's all under environmental, that's true. But I see here, maybe it's just a bit confusing in the wording, we've got the Manitoba Lake Conservancy / Lake Steward. Now, I don't know whether that's short form for Lake Stewardship Committee or...
Well, the expertise, you know, what happened was the Lake Association had people that were doing it. And then, you know, we had Carl Mitchell, who did the lake capacity study. There's another member who's a U of T professor. And so we have resources that are there in that committee. So it is kind of a fluid thing where there's cross membership. Basically, Jennifer and I are on both sides.
Yeah.
And so working in with Jennifer and the committee and deciding that really it was important to do the phosphorus, oxygen, and all that new kind of testing, then it was natural. So the MLCA said, well, you know, we'll help with that. So it's a synergistic situation that's kind of unique, and it works very well.
Okay. So the budget that came in, I think, was $30,000. Was that what the environmental...
It's the exact amount here.
22,210 is the exact number.
Yeah, because we've taken ice cap out, but I'm thinking
the one
I've got in my records shows 30,000 at the bottom.
It
and
does.
This is where I'm getting confused.
But the $8,000 difference is ice cap.
Right. But
that's it here if you want to see it.
I know, but
yeah.
What I'm saying is they submitted 30,000 what they wanted, right?
Right. Yeah, because that included ice cap.
Right. And now we're taking that right out of there.
Well, yes, that's
so.
We understand that council did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, frankly, if I just ask the question, it was unclear to us in both the MLCA and the Lake Stewardship Committee whether there is a requirement, you know, like a formal requirement for municipalities to have a plan to reduce greenhouse emissions. I don't know the answer to that question. If it is a requirement, then the second question is ice cap the best and lowest cost way of doing it? So
yeah.
I don't know the answer to that either. And then there's still a third choice which says this council is concerned about, you know, greenhouse gas emissions and we would like to be sure we're doing our part in reducing them and we're going to develop our own plan. So that is a topic that I think there's a logical sequence to it, and you need to follow through on that. But I can't tell you for certain because I don't know the answers to that. I know the history of how it got started. You've got phase one done. So that's what that is.
Yeah, it seems with ice cap, it just sort of ballooned quickly, and like the figures doubled. And I think that was a question with the previous council, and I don't know what we're into as far as a commitment, but and I know as other townships are just now catching up. I mean, McDougal had a big spread that they passed phase one or something, which, as you say, we've already passed, and we're on to two and three. And I don't know what our future is going forward either, but I guess we were questioning what we're receiving for money spent through ICECAP, and we're nice graphs, nice pictorials, all kinds of things there, but what is actually being accomplished. And and plus the fact that they come to our township to get the facts on, you know, how much fuel you're using, and they get all the information here, which we could do, as you said. That might be something we would investigate just internally. And I'm not sure about this ice cap here, but I'm just new to all of this, but it looked to me like there was a lot of money thrown at it all of a sudden. And they're getting grants too, so.
And you know, it certainly wouldn't be the first time. You know, GDP is a good organization by and large, but it wouldn't be the first time that somebody tried to build a project that they were interested in.
Right.
But you know, the question really, I'm question is, why did so many other communities participate in it and feel as though they're getting a benefit? So, you know, I mean, Whitestone joined late, and as you see, McDougal did, and so forth. So I don't know. I mean, if I was involved, I'd be sitting down and talking to the mayors of the other communities and saying, well, why is this important for the city?
No, that's important too, and I know there's something to be said from past experience and peer pressure. And as you say, if it's government driven, then that's a different matter. A lot of things that we have joined, well, I could name a couple, but not the time and place, because of other townships have done it. And I think back to just the one example of the information center that we were part of years and years ago. Other people were joining. We thought it was a good thing for economic development right along Highway 69 at the time. And the three townships stayed right out of it. They just decided never to join Archipelago, Whitestone, and Carling. And yet they were still getting the benefits from that. The businesses could still come and advertise for the same fee that people from our townships were advertising for. So we thought, well, that wasn't fair. As you say, Whitestone came in late. I'm not sure why they held up. Some things they belong to, some things they don't. So you're right, it's up for discussion why they belong to certain things and not others.
And I guess the other thing, you know, that, I mean, again, it's not my position, but in effect, this is a team effort. So when one member opts out, it impacts the others. So it seems to me as though there's a due diligence that requires us to say, hey, we're not doing it, but we did due diligence, here's why, and that's the explanation that we've given to the others as to why their costs are going up. But that just
works. Yeah, that's
as a business person.
Yeah, that's the problem we have. It's a team, yes, to a certain extent, but who's driving it?
No, fine. All I'm saying is the communication should be clear.
Yeah.
So that both GBB can plan for themselves and the other communities can plan for whatever the impact is going to be on them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate too. We're not in at the base level where they determine, you know, what fees certain townships are paying, and sometimes it's out of proportion to what they can afford. Others have the money, discretionary money, that they can work around because of their large budgets. And so anything we do here, of course, has a major impact because we don't have the large budget.
Yeah.
We're one of the few remaining single-tier municipalities. The others have expanded and amalgamated, and that's the other area we always have to keep an eye on. Yes, it's a team effort working all together, but certainly we don't want to say that, and currently it's been out there, amalgamation, it never goes away. And so we're always looking at that too. Yes, we can work together. Fire department a few years ago, same sort of thing. We'll have an area, they keep using the word regional, unfortunately. We're not Southern Ontario. And so they want everybody working together, yes, but that's fine, as long as you can maintain your independence. Because that's a concern that everybody works together, yes, and then there'll come a point at some time that, well, you're all working together, then why are there borders? Business people have said this for years. There shouldn't be any municipal borders. We should be all one. And so that's always been the back of our minds as well. We work as a team player. Yes, we've helped area-wide organizations, but we have to be a little wary on who's driving this and where they want to go with it in the future.
Well, if I could say one more thing out of school. And,
well, this is all being recorded.
I think that council was not as well served as it could have been by some members of the previous administration and keeping council fully informed.
Duly noted.
I think there was another sort of an issue as well, that when the municipality joined on with GBBR, you know, that the narrative that was presented was that as more municipalities joined on, then the cost would go down, when it went the absolute opposite way into, you know, staggering increases. So, you know, that's when the council basically was trying to review what, if there was a return on investment or what we were receiving for this substantial increase in costs. And I think that's still in process.
Yeah, we won't resolve this now.
So no. So that's just a minor detail.
Does that answer the questions that you have?
No, that's actually, as far as, yes, Manitobong Lake and the Stewardship Committee, yes.
Well, since you're on the environmental protection and preservation category here, and looking at the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee budget, appreciate the work that they do, excellent work, and, you know, it's an important committee to the township, but I can't get behind the $2,500 for the pollinator patches. I think that we have to look at an option that is more serving to the community, and I've discussed this with, you know, the individual who is going to be doing the labor part of it. And if we're going to, you know, for an environmental committee to be paying $2,500 for native species, this is an environmental committee purchasing natural species of plants that are raised in a greenhouse in Southern Ontario that consumes resources, creates greenhouse gases, transported up here, and these natural species are growing everywhere you look within the, you know, 100 square miles of McKellar Township. Just from a practical sense, it's not something that is an effective way to spend money. So I wanted to see, you know, how we could take us, you know, the basic concept and apply it to something that is practical and, you know, contributes to the municipality or surrounding area. And the thought that came to mind was, instead of focusing this time and energy and resources on these pollinator patches, which, you know, really, if you look at the, you know, is it going to create a positive contribution? Yeah, there's community spirit, but you can do that as well with a community garden. So you're putting that time and energy and resources of growing something that is going back to the community, harvest share, or even individuals in our municipality. And you can incorporate, you know, on the outside or wherever, sunflowers or and or the whole process of growing things is a pollinator patch. So I think that, you know, if we want to have something that is a net benefit for the municipality and puts, you know, will draw a continual community spirit into the program, that this might be something to be looked at as an option.
We're all sort of concerned about this. Having just spent a couple of months in New Zealand, I was astounded by the fact that New Zealand is exporting bees, you know, as part of a donation to Canada to improve our pollinator population, and recognizing how short Canada is, and basically North America, of pollinators. With respect to the garden, who can be against that kind of idea? But the Lakeshore Committee doesn't have the resources to weed it, to take whatever grows in the ground out. That committee and the structure of the committee, the purpose of the committee, really isn't in that direction. Now, if the council decides, you know, you don't want to do the pollinators, if that's not an environmental area in which you want to make a contribution, I'd understand that. I mean, I think it's an important area to do. I think, you know, you could probably say you could have less money for it, and there might be other ways of going around it instead of, you know, using seeds instead of plants, which is a fancy way of doing it. But I don't see how a committee of volunteers is going to harvest vegetables, and the labor's not there. So it's not a workable from the committee's point of view.
Okay. That's why it's called a community garden, is because the community participates in it. The committee, from what I understand, was going to do the groundwork for these pollinator patches. They were going to dig up the spot. They were going to apply, I've heard compost was going to be applied, that, you know, this was going to be a work project.
A one-time thing. That's very different than having a garden years on, and you have to plant it and harvest it and coordinate when, you know, things are ripe to give it to harvest here. I mean, it's a wonderful idea, and I've got nothing against it. It's just not part and parcel of what the Lakeshore, the Lake Committee will do.
Yeah. And so there was the one committee member that is going to continually be doing the weeding of these pollinator patches?
Once they're set up, because they're natural, they're self-maintaining.
She said she was going to come and water them regularly. She was going to weed them regularly.
Okay, I'm not up for that, Susan. I'm not sure, but that's still not the same as having to tend a garden. You know, so anyway, there's just a different line there, and I respect your position. It's just it's not where the environmental committee is on that. So, you know, if you reduce the budget, that's council's prerogative.
And that's my position, is that the township has done their part in ensuring when the roadside grass cutting takes place, that anywhere where there's milkweed, it's left behind, so that we have, you know, multiple pollinator patches specific to monarchs on the roadways throughout McKellar Township. So we have a pollinator patch back here. And, you know, the interesting thing with the Bluebird Project is they have decades of data on, you know, the how it's benefiting. We've had now this pollinator or this butterfly garden here at the community center. I haven't seen any data from that, how that's improved and increased the and what pollinator species are coming to it. I could back something up if there is some data and information, but to just, well, let's put up a pollinator patch when everywhere you look in McKellar Township, there's a feed source for pollinators. I think that if we're gonna allocate, you know, those kinds of resources to a project, it should be something that has a greater benefit for all of McKellar Township.
Yeah, this is, you know, Mr. Chairman, you know, it's your call here.
Yeah,
so
no,
proceed. And, you know, I respect council's ability to make the decision, and, you know, you're well within your, you know, that's what you're here for.
Yeah, no, we're hearing both sides. It's good. I'm glad you're here to, yeah.
I'm not on the pollinator patch. I wanted to go back to the...
Oh.
Do you want me to wait till you're done?
Oh, I think that's good.
Good.
Yeah.
I just was curious, wasn't that Dr. Pollock that was, didn't she come here and do a presentation for the...
Yes.
And did she not say that we did not have to donate, we could donate as much as we prefer?
Yeah,
so, like,
over
we don't
a
have
period
to put
time.
This 5260, and we could reduce that, and we're still part, and they still work with us.
No.
I believe that was for her ICE. She did the deputation
right.
for ICECAP because Ben Johns was unavailable.
Was it ICECAP?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's where she
okay,
said
I'm
that.
Okay, I'm confused.
Yeah.
I thought she. Yeah, I thought
different
she was
organization.
With the BGB. Okay.
So. The 5260 was for benthic 4 sites.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's there's a description in the budget, but it isn't an accurate description. Nevertheless,
no,
it is
I,
in
I,
the budget.
I was
so.
Thinking
yeah.
if
yeah.
she
I'll
came
probably
did.
Broke down, you should put benthic study
yeah.
on it. That would,
yeah.
that would focus everybody.
Yeah.
And just, again, if I could allow one more thing.
Sure.
The as part of the due diligence on the Lake Shore, on the Lake Stewardship Committee, we actually questioned whether we should or should not continue with the benthic study. And for several meetings, it looked as though we were going to come to the conclusion that it was not money well spent and we would not recommend it. And so we continued to do research and basically then concluded there was a long-term benefit. And we also came to the conclusion that it was not worthwhile recommending to council that you have a charging station here that had come before the committee. So we do try to exercise judgment is what I'm suggesting.
Yeah, that's good. We appreciate that. Yeah. So it was, again, Dr. was it Miller? Mitchell?
Mitchell, Carl
yeah.
Mitchell, yeah.
He did the study or the benthic study?
He did the lake capacity study.
Oh, okay.
With students. He had graduate students do that.
Okay. But they...
It was a $15,000 study that came free.
Yeah. You came to the conclusion that it was important to keep doing it then?
Well, he wasn't, but the other members of the committee, when we talked about benthic,
right.
we reviewed it in detail and... what's her name? Melanie.
Yeah.
You know, so we have people that we can go to and ask detailed questions, but, you know, we really did question the value of it. And so, you know, I'm just sharing with council that, you know, that we do take the spending of money seriously, and, you know, we will cut things that we don't believe in.
Well, we had a question, too, while we're on this. The previous budget meeting, I think, to Was there any follow-up to the literature that's been handed out? Do you get any comments, returns on... because I know that's a big part of the budget as well, producing...
Well, the prior year, we're not going to do that throughout
no.
the communication. But basically, it seemed to have been very well perceived.
Mm-hmm.
All of it's anecdotal.
Right.
And really, it only went out late last year just as people were leaving, mm-hmm. The cottage country, so...
Yeah.
But we had comments at the market that people had read it and done so, but you know, it was anecdotal.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Okay,
so
Councilor Zulak still looking at it. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering for the pollinator patches, are we going to be leaving that in there? $2,500?
I would be against leaving that in there.
Well, it's back to the question, this is what they're asking for, the amount, what was it, 8,
What's the workout now? You have the actual total?
Sorry?
22.
22,210 is the total amount, including pollinator patches, and right now in the pollinator patches, there's $2,500 there included
right.
in the 22.
Yeah.
22,210. Yeah, that's the exact amount. Yes, it is. So.
So that can be broken down into $8,000 for water testing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The benthic study, which I believe is very beneficial, it, and even the report sort of indicated that it is the canary in the coal mine and gave comparisons to other lakes where certain species were thriving and gave a good indication of a healthy lake. So I think that's worth continuing on just to see, you know, how that trend line goes. And as well, I think it gave some indication of the concentration of calcium, which is very important to ensure that species such as Daphnia, which consume algae, can thrive. They have enough calcium to thrive in the lake. So I think that's very important, that benthic study.
It's interesting to note, just to go to an earlier point, that the benthic study, so the committee will pay for $5,260, which is that amount, and then MLCA is going to pay another $2,320, so that isn't in our budget, of course, because MLCA is paying for it. But that's indicative of the partnership or the agreement kind of between MLCA and the committee. So, and I think in previous years, MLCA paid half. That's just recollection. I don't know that that's true. But
no, I think the township paid that was a little
bit. Yeah, okay.
Been a material amount.
Yeah.
But you know, if council decides to take $1,000 out of the budget, you know, I understand. I would recommend that you let the Lakeshore committee decide how best to deploy the funds that are remaining and how they would best provide benefits.
Yeah, so how does that sound as a recommendation to them? That, and again, I don't know how all the council feels. We just heard from a couple. But the pollinator patches that they do, the general feeling is that maybe it could be spent in a better way, or not necessarily the community gardens, maybe that's too involved too, but.
I think as a matter of general practice, the fact that the committee is, you know, 100% volunteers, and some of them put in incredible hours of research and work into doing this, that frankly, to cut that item out of the budget is a slap in the face, and it's a sign of disregard to the people who want to contribute and contribute genuine expertise. I would like to see the pollinator patches remain. It's possible. We had a discussion about whether or not we could use seeds versus plants, which would be cheaper, but nevertheless, then you're faced with the issues of, you know, nurturing the plant all along, whereas you don't face the same issue for full-on plants. That was the request, and I think these are very dedicated people, including Tony, that spend a lot of time on this. And especially when I was working, this is not something you would do, because you're really just slapping people in the face to do that.
Okay, I can hear both sides. I'm just wondering, how do you answer with the purchase of these plants when they're, what I'm understanding, in the field next door? So,
and being produced in a greenhouse in southern Ontario that's consuming resources and going against, you know, the ethics of what you want to do as an environmental committee.
So the middle road is to take $1,000 out and do it with seed and see what it is. I mean, you know, quite frankly, for the township to be taking up this amount of time on this item,
we're used
budget
to it.
This size,
we're used to it.
You know, well, I respect, you know, the time and energy you put in, but I think it's time to just.
There's another point here, actually, because the terms and agreements that we were presented with initially was there was going to be no cost. And that's fine. You know, council agreed, and we thought, that's fine. We'll have some pollinator patch. And so the terms of the agreement changed, that now there's a price to it. So that's what the issue is here, is that, you know, there's been a misunderstanding of information. And when the terms of agreement change, then you have an opportunity to consider what was presented and what you would actually like to see when, you know, the changes in the terms of the agreement are that you are the payer, you're going to be the one who's paying for those changes. So it's...
Okay. I mean, respectfully, I just think, you know, call a question, have a vote, and Let's move on.
Well, we're not to the point of actually deciding on budgets today. We're just discussing it. So
okay.
We certainly won't be voting on something like that at this point. But the big question we have of this, of course, is whether we leave that amount in there and discretionary on their part, what they think is best, and with a recommendation from council that they not spend it on that, that they find some alternative to spend it on, or to cut the budget. I mean, that's obviously a... But we haven't done that with anybody else that I know of. So, and as you say, they're very, I guess, conscious of what they're spending it on, and as you say, volunteer time, and are they doing a good job for us, and should we leave some of the discretion to them, you know, what they think is best. So that's what we have to wrestle with. But yes,
and
final word.
Yes, and I think that's a fair compromise, you know, that, you know, this is not, we, you know, there's other options that we'd like to consider, but we do, you know, appreciate the good work that the committee is doing, and so I think that's a fair compromise, that look at what other options are and go from there.
Yeah, okay. I like that suggestion you came up with, because if the pollinator patches weren't going to be left in the budget, they may have taken a different approach. Maybe MLCA would have maybe put some money toward it, maybe not so much in other areas, and then they may have actually possibly applied for our other small
That's
grants.
True, the other one, yeah.
So we kind of led, I think they got led a little bit, so, but that might be a compromise, that leave the bottom line for the environmental services the same, but maybe put a message out there that we're concerned about the pollinator patch cost. Sounds good, man.
Sounds good. We move on. Page 24. I just want a clarification on the figures for the recreation and cultural centers in our debentures and how much we're paying here now. So it's near the top under expenses.
Page 24, you said?
24, yeah.
Okay.
We've got the figure.
561?
Yeah, actual for 2022 was 161,000.
Okay.
And then the actual for this year, I guess, well, the budget is 561,000.
That's the amount we are going to pay and which we paid.
Which we have paid.
Paid last week.
We paid.
Okay. So the venture amount is 96,678.
Right, and that's paid every...
Every 6 months.
Every 6 months?
Yeah.
Okay. That was a little unclear on that one.
How much was it again? How much was it again?
96,678.
Twice per year.
Yeah, twice per year. Next 10 years.
Oh my God.
Is that correct? That seems like a lot. I sort of was under the impression that it would be, yeah, the 90 some thousand per year for 10 years.
Yeah, 96,000 per year. That's
per year.
Per
yeah.
year or twice per year?
No, per year.
Oh,
well,
you said
okay.
twice.
Thank you.
Per
yes.
Year.
That's
okay.
Good.
That's much better.
48,000
really
something.
Wrong
oh, okay.
there.
I'm
just
saying, oh my
Whoa.
God.
I'll cross that out. So down below there where we get the total expenses, I'm looking at the actuals, well, it's estimated actuals, I'm not sure how that works, but anyway, total expenses for 2022 were 943,000 and change, and the total, or the proposed budget is 658 for this year. I'm a little confused in those numbers. Because we spent 900,000 last year, 600,000 this year. Are we not overspending?
Is your interest, right?
No. So
is that all the interest then? Okay.
Yeah. So if you look at the current one, current year, so the 561,539, it's coming out of reserve to
right.
pay out the expenses, right? And then 96,678 is the interest and principal we need to pay this year.
What was that last figure?
96,6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
when does that come due? When do we have to pay that? Do we have to do it twice yet?
Yeah,
two more times?
We have to twice a year. I have sheet.
But I mean, have we paid one yet?
I
doesn't matter.
It's in the budget. What difference does it make?
Well, my concern, this is capital, right? I mean, there's no operating yet that we have to consider.
Yeah, this is a capital fund.
This is all capital.
Yeah, yeah.
So
operating will be once the pool is finished or completed.
So we don't have to pay that until it's...
Yeah.
And that's $30,000 a year?
Roughly, yeah.
Hmm.
So hopefully the pool, this won't be built for 10 years.
Could happen.
Then we will pay, then we'll, instead of the 96, we'll pay 30, right?
But the way the project timeline is, they might build around 25 to 26, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Am I right, Murray?
On, what's that? I thought they were talking about breaking ground this year, but I don't know. The actual completion date is probably 2025.
Yeah,
that's what
25 to 26, that's what I heard.
Yeah, the last I sort of thought it was going to be still 4 years from a half a year ago, so maybe still another 3.5 years. I thought they had an opening date, and I sort of thought it was close
to
4 years.
Well, they haven't said no opening date now.
No, but I remember 2025 for some reason.
So in 2025, we'd have to pay this $96,000 plus the... Isn't that disgusting?
Well, you're already paying. it's the extra then at that point for the operating. And not only that, it won't just be the operating, it'll also be the capital reserve, I think, which they're going to throw in, which will probably be another $30,000 a year. Now, I don't know whether that's per year for that one or that's just a one-time.
I think $50,000 per year.
They can't build up the reserve that much, though, because that'll give them the $350,000 capital reserve. Are they going to put $350,000 each year into capital reserve? That seems like a lot.
That's
a big
sure.
plans.
Yeah, that's one of the problems. Is we don't have the big picture.
Hmm.
I'm not sure who does. Somebody must, but we're not getting it.
Excuse me for a minute.
And we're supposed to do the donation or what you call that?
Fundraising,
yeah.
Yeah.
But the balance up, if the amount goes over that, they're supposed to do the fundraising for that, so I'm not sure.
When it goes over? Oh, if it goes over, okay.
That's my understanding, is if it goes over.
Yeah, the fundraising is a confusing part because you're talking a fair bit of money, and then of course we've got that other letter that was I think that was in open. I can't remember anymore. A question now, not only about the 6 lanes versus 4 lanes. I mean, that's pretty well a given now, that another $2 million for the extra 2 lanes, but also the regulation size gymnasium, I think, is what they're pushing for now to another group. So there's still a lot of things to consider, but I don't know how the architects are actually pulling this off, because things keep coming in and changing, but what they're designing.
Yeah.
And that's my concern too, when they get to the actual construction stage. Well, you're so far into the program then, can you start to make changes? I don't know. What are they bidding on? So.
I believe there's 2 other grants that they're looking at as well.
Oh yes, for the renovation of the...
Because they can use other grants to upgrade the existing building that they're going to use. For the pool complex itself, they can't. The grant we've got is only can be spent there, but we can apply other grants to the existing building. So, fingers crossed that'll save some money.
That second grant, didn't that fall through at the last meeting? Weren't they discussing the... Because of some particular reason,
I think the only thing that fell through was that it couldn't be a charitable organization.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what you're probably referring to. But I haven't heard a thing on that one, so I don't know where that's going.
Yeah, I got a notice that we couldn't be, but I haven't received any explanation on it yet.
And I'm assuming, from what I've seen so far, is that Prairie Sound's probably the lead municipality taking this on anyway, and so that might be another thing. Everything's filtered through them, I'm not sure.
And I would like to know, I'm not sure if I know the municipalities paid their share? Because the way I heard that Whitestone hasn't paid its share yet.
Well, yeah, they're not even part of the agreement. Theirs would just be strictly a donation at some point.
One time donation.
But if we paid all of our money, then they should have paid as of now.
Did they, was there not announced that he,
we
didn't donate?
We didn't say mail the other day, and there was my, like McKellar, and I believe one other municipality who have actually made their payments, but I can go back and check with Rebecca on that.
I thought I seen an email where they were saying everybody.
Yeah, that did come from Donald Sanderson, yeah. But I'm not sure whether that included Whitestone. You're right, that's a separate. Plus, they have a rider in their agreement that there'd be a feasibility study, which has never taken place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if they have paid or if they'll pay. Good question. Anything else on our line by line here? Go ahead.
On page 21, so at the 11-360-134, Brownlee Clubhouse maintenance, that can be taken out. That's no longer in possession of the municipality.
Page 21, what was the number?
That's 11-360-134.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so no figure amount, just a line item. Well, we noticed that with a few of these things. It's good to get rid of that one. Because, but some of them are staying there from previous years, and, even though there's no figures. It was a one-time thing, sort of.
Yeah, indeed, there's whatever, 6, 7, 8 lines in the middle of that section, too, and then with nothing. So.
I guess the idea behind it, you keep record of it so that there is a place to slot something in again in the future if you have to, and it's all numbered. And, I guess the other question, what we started with too, can we look at down the road, like year by year, 24, maybe you have to talk to Greg about this, but what his plans are for, so it won't all come in 1 year, 2024, 2025, as far as we can go, I guess, and we tend to go beyond, just as the asset management plan goes into numerous councils. They just go over 10 or 12 years or whatever. Can we do that as well with those figures? Because a lot of things in the public out there are noticing too, we've cut various capital projects for various reasons. And anybody living on those roads, for instance, might want to know, is it slotted in? When's it going to actually happen? And so I'm thinking we should at least look ahead, even with this budget, and project where we're going with the future years in particular roads and costs. Now, the costs have never remained the same, but I think Greg has probably already done that. My only worry is that he's saying, well, we'll do it next year. There's a lot of things for next year, so it'd be nice to have some of them. What can wait to 2025 now? So whether that can be passed on to him so that he can come up with something, what his action plan is, based on the asset management plan and the roads need study and all those other things. I'd feel a little more comfortable with that before, and I know we want this passed, but I'm not sure. I'd like to see where we are going to cover these various costs before we actually pass this one. Because if there isn't something projected for Center Road, for instance, I'm surprised that that money, that $109,000, is available each year, even if you don't work on the road. I thought you would actually have to work on it to get the money from them, but if it's a grant that's coming. And plus, there was a suggestion of a huge grant in the asset management plan. It talked about the NORD grant as well, and they said Center Road would be dealt with there, but it was hundreds of thousands. It was a major, and I don't know anything about that grant unless it's part of this $109,000 incrementally each year.
That's not.
That's all it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what I told the assets management company that, you know, we are going to get the money, and that's why they included it there.
Oh, okay, because the way they wrote it up, it sounded like there's going to be a real windfall here one of these years. I don't know. It's 2024. They were talking about a huge NORD grant, but that's really not.
No.
Okay.
So you'd like to see like a 5-year capital plan?
I think at least 5. I think that's good.
We've had that in the past, and I think that, you know, I don't know if there's an expectation to review that, like, and have that in place now before we pass this budget, a preliminary one, and then do a more thorough review of the asset management plan and the audited financial statements and the roads needs study, just to have a real good sort of.
Well, I think, yeah, I have no problem with that, except that, as I say, with the roads needs, you have to take that with a grain of salt, what they've done there. And I think having our director of operations, he was involved certainly with those studies, and where that's where they got much of their information. So we have to rely on his guidance to a certain extent, and what he thinks he can do in the years to come. And as you said before, we don't even have facilities in this particular asset management plan.
That,
we don't have vehicles.
Roads and facilities, but yeah, I knew there was two things that
we don't have vehicles, and it'd be good to know that too.
Yeah.
I mean, he talked about the one truck being moved to another member of the department, and he would get a new vehicle, but I don't know when his plan is for that, so we need more information from him, I think. Yes, Roshan.
I would suggest if you pass this budget and the by fall, you prepare a 5-year capital budget that will, you know, give us enough time for next year budget, and then can include whatever projected items we need to do in next 5 years. So at least this way, we before 2024 budget, we know what are we going to spend. Instead of delaying this budget, I would suggest, you know, give us myself and the Greg time to come up the number and properly present it to you.
I think as well, we should sooner than later have a roads tour and facilities review tour, just so that we can, you know, more eyes looking at things. I think is a then you get a broader perspective of.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's the type of thing that wouldn't affect the passing of this budget.
No.
It's something that would work towards the 5-year sort of thing investigation. So that's the question we're dealing with right now, and I guess the question for Roshan is, what is the, you say Whitestone hasn't passed theirs yet, but most of them have, and what are the advantages of that to get it passed in April as opposed to that 1 year was June or July, I think. But
so the reason I'm pushing for passing the budget now is that, you know, the in May we are going to have forensic audit,
right,
and I will be busy with that. In July, I have to do the final billing, so
okay,
for the taxes. So, you know, I would like to have before that, so I can be relaxed and can do focus on other things. You know, if delaying the budget by June or July, especially by June, if we won't achieve anything because we already covered everything and we went through a couple of times.
Yeah.
And, you know, our rates seems reasonable, so I don't see any reason for delaying the budget.
I think the one benefit to do, like, you know, a thorough review, maybe we've done that, is that then we don't end up in a situation such as last year where, you know, the day before the budget was passed, there was the Inholmes Bridge situation, and we were never advised of it, and then there were several bylaw budget amendments later on. So just so that we're aware of everything that is... you know, that would be an expense this coming year that we're aware of it at this point in time.
So that's why we, as I said, you know, by fall, I and Greg will sit together and prepare the 5-year budget. So at least you, and when, you know, council will know what will be expected capital budget in the next 5 years, and come the 2024, you know, budget, the council already knew that what's going to be expected in the budget. So that's why I would like to suggest, you know, if we do the all assets management planning and the 5-year capital in fall, so at least we have a time.
Okay. It is true, we don't want a lot of budget amendments, but if we can avoid that, that's fine. So I'll ask Ina then the actual procedure on this. It's not scheduled for anything on Tuesday night. It's not on the agenda, but it could go under new business, I guess.
It could go under new business, but I think we have to post that that we're having one more meeting,
okay,
a public meeting, so that if the public want to comment on it,
okay,
and then we can pass from there.
Right, so you wouldn't pass at that public meeting or right after, you would wait another meeting?
I would not pass at that public meeting.
Okay.
I would have the public meeting and then pass out.
So have you got a date for Roshan here? But that's pushing it further down the road, he's not happy here.
Do we need to have a wait, because our committee of whole is public meetings anyhow, so public was involved in one or other way, you know, we wanted to involve it. Whoever came, you know, they did listen and, you know, watch our public meetings.
But we should advertise for it. We should, I know you don't get a lot of readership in the paper, but we should be putting an ad in the paper advising that we're having that public meeting. Even though it's committee of the whole, we should be doing that.
So May 2nd could work.
Yes.
And you could have your public meeting during the May 2nd
yes.
meeting, and
yep.
then if nothing substantially changes, you could actually have a motion
yep.
on May the 2nd.
Yeah.
Is that early enough?
A newspaper advertisement wouldn't work for May 2nd, though.
Oh.
Because the deadline for the newspaper is Fridays at 11, so the paper ad would run Thursday the 27th, and that only leads 5 days until the regular meeting of council on May 2nd.
And what are the usual deadline for notices on how much?
Is it 2 weeks usually? Or is it, I'm not sure if it's different for budget.
I will have to check on that. I think that would be fine. That would be fine.
Yeah, okay.
But let me confirm with another clerk who's got a few more years in than me just to be 100%.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
You're going to solve this? Okay.
Yeah. I do read the paper. Some of it's actually true. But I haven't seen, I don't know if other municipalities have passed their budget or not, but I haven't seen anything in the papers related to passing of budgets or anything.
Okay.
That I'm aware of, so I'm just wondering if we're the only municipality doing it, do we need to? Though I'm always...
And that's something that I know that was the past procedure. I know a lot of things now, like even with planning items that always have to be advertised in the paper. There's a lot of planning stuff that doesn't now have to be advertised in the paper. If we can do just a post to the website mm-hmm. and Facebook so, and put the notices up, then yes, we can definitely do it quicker. I'm going to have to check to be 100% sure.
And I think you reach a broader audience. I genuinely believe that.
Oh,
yeah.
I think so.
It goes on Facebook. Yeah.
Sounds good. We'll leave it in their hands to resolve, Roshan.
I know the municipality of McDougall, they don't advertise on the web, in the newspaper. When I was assisting them with the budget and the audit, and they mentioned to me that, you know, just like us, they do the committee of whole meetings and the public comment. They do the question answer during the committee of whole meetings, and then it covers the municipal act,
mm-hmm.
but it's up to the council.
Yeah, well, might be May 2nd, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I believe that the notice bylaw previously had those steps required, but that was amended, it'll say right in the notice bylaw, I think it was 2011 that it was amended,
okay.
that was no longer one of the requirements mm-hmm. in our notice bylaw.
Okay, then...
But just double check, and I do recall asking previously if this was required, and because of what it said in the notice bylaw, but then was advised that that had been changed.
Yeah, I would want to be 100% sure before we put anything in stone.
Well, we'll leave it in your hands.
Okay.
Sounds good. Anything else for budget discussion? Okay, have resolution 23-277 moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Keckman. Be it resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby rise and report from committee of the whole at
3:36
p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And any questions
Thanks for coming in, we appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah, resolution 23-278, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Hutchinson. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby give bylaw number 2023-32, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of council first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed an open council this 14th day of April 2023. Call the question, all those in favor? Resolution 23-279, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
3:37
p.m. to meet again on April 18th, 2023, or at the call of the mayor. Call the question, all those in favor?
Aye.